Welcome, everybody, to Season 4, Episode 5 of So Strange. I'm your host, Andy Myers. I'm an author and a paranormal researcher who is joined by a very special guest. I have Aaron Phillips with us today. How's it going, Aaron?
Hey, doing good. How are you, Andy? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was telling you before the show, I feel like I don't know what I was thinking waiting this long to have you on, because out of all the people I know, you have a lot of really cool stories, really cool experiences. I do have to ask, when did your interest in metaphysics and the paranormal and conspiracy theories, I mean, has this kind of always been your thing?
I don't know. All the way from a young kid, you know. I had a babysitter show me Poltergeist as like a 6 year old, you know, talking about that movie. One thing a babysitter never should do. And then after that, I had some nightmares, and then those nightmares turned into experiences, it seemed like. And then, yeah, I mean, from a very young age. So
all because of a babysitter showed you
Poltergeist. Yeah. Can you imagine that, being a 6 year old and you're sitting in front of and Carolyn is going into the TV, you know, like.
No, but I mean, that's what it was like growing up with, you know, people our age growing up. It was like the Wild West. Anything goes.
Right.
I mean, hell, yeah. Our parents were lucky to know where we were at, what zip code we were in half the time. They're like, well, I hope he comes back for dinner.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what happened. And I lived in a small town in Dakota City, Nebraska. So it's just north of Omaha where you're at. And I grew up there, and we would ride our bikes until sunset. And as long as we're home by dark, there was no issues, you know, and we had that whole town to ourselves. So, yeah, it was crazy.
But minus babysitter showing you scary movies, pretty awesome childhood. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That experience that's one that stayed with me. I can share that experience, if you want. I've shared it with other people before. I was a young kid, walking. I was in my bedroom at night, and I'd always see like things, in the closet, you know, or in a dark corner, like dark. And a lot of kids do. It's a pretty common thing where kids are scared of the dark, you know. But there's one night I was got up out of bed and I was walking down the hallway in this tiny little house that we lived in. I shared a room with my brother, and my sister shared a room. And so we were four kids living in a small house. And I walked down the hallway and to go into the bathroom. And, you know, I'm weary-eyed, rubbing the eyes, sleep away, and trying to, you know, just find my way to use the restroom. And then all of a sudden I heard a voice, a really deep voice, a voice like I will never forget it in my life. And it said, this sounds a little cliche, but it says, Aaron, I'm coming for you. It said my name, Aaron, I'm coming for you, right? Probably some... I get in the chills right now, even still thinking about it. And I literally shot out of that bathroom, a bat out of hell, and turned the corner. My parents' room was right next door. I jumped from their, I swear to God, I jumped from their threshold to their doorway another 6 feet and leaped right in between them. And I was scared out of my mind. It ended up, that experience, along with many other things, my parents were extremely religious when I was a kid. And it led to some pretty interesting happenings within the house, I will say. And we, you know, the whole thing, Bible in hand, exercising the house, it was pretty intense. And when you're a little kid going through that stuff, it definitely has a way to shape your future. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, and traumatize you.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. By shaping your future means setting you up that you need therapy. Yeah.
Right? It was scary, dude.
Yeah, but lie. I mean, the scary part is that, you know, the voice that you heard was intelligent, or seemed to be intelligent, knew your name, for crying out loud. That's unsettling. And you were in the bathroom when it happened?
I was in the bathroom, trousers kind of... down, using the restroom, you know?
Well, that's kind of appropriate, because it probably scared the crap out of you, right?
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it still, I mean, yeah, I, you know, whatever it was, I have no idea. It's probably some old ghost just playing a trick on a young little kid, you know? But...
Yeah, just yesterday on the show for subscribers, I was talking with Brandon about what ghosts could do, what we all could do in the afterlife to kind of get a rise out of people. How are we going to choose to scare
Yeah.
people in the afterlife?
Right. It's probably a game they play, They just have
Yeah, you just wait for an unsuspecting kid to, catch him off guard, and then you say his name. I don't
Oh.
know. I think I'd probably find better things to do in the afterlife,
Me too, right? Yeah,
but
I
that was
don't know.
kind of one
Yeah.
of, many things that kind of eased you into the paranormal world. And I think, primarily what we're going to talk about today, and I'm going to actually have Aaron back as a reoccurring guest, semi-regularly, maybe once a season, we'll say, because you're well educated, well versed on a lot of different metaphysical and paranormal and spiritual topics. And but you had kind of mentioned today you wanted to get into simulation theory a little bit.
Oh,
And
yeah.
I mean, my ears perked up when I heard that, because I'm like, oh boy, I think I've already done two shows on this, but I could do 20 more, because at the end of the day, are we living in a simulation? Is this just a glorified video game matrix we're living in? And if so, where's the evidence? Things do seem to be getting a little glitchy. You have these, what they, some people refer to it as the Mandela effect, kind of shifts in reality. Things appearing not to be, appearing to be different than we perceive them. So I don't know. Do you remember when you first caught wind of this conspiracy theory, or did you just start to piece it
Oh
together on your
no,
own?
I no no no. I had an auto accident in 2016, where I'm not going to get into the details of the accident because that itself is a whole nother. Probably take another 30 minutes to talk about. But I had an a accident, and I just started questioning the nature of my own reality, the nature of life. Just it was almost, I would say, a near death experience, even though I walked away from it, but it felt like that. I had a definite issue there, and just thinking back on it, that's where my brain just went now. And through that accident, and then through my then I started reading spiritual stuff about reincarnation, about just science in general. I like to really, at least at that moment in time, was really about facts and discovering what's the truth was, right? I was a truth seeker at that time. And I still am to a certain extent. And so that led down this long path of just there's all different ways to that you can explore spirituality and consciousness. That led to, there's drugs, psychedelics are one thing that allow you to do this. But I will say, I got my medical marijuana card here in Arkansas, and this is what led to the simulation, my simulation thing. I took 50 milligrams of THC on Memorial Day weekend, and I didn't realize the dosing of that was way too high for someone who was just starting out. I had just got my medical marijuana card. I was doing the dosing, and I took too much. That led to an experience that dove me into, with my wife there, my kid there, an experience that, unlike, they were not having a good time, I was having an amazing time. They were, right? Like, it was an experience unlike, it was the most existential psychedelic trip I have ever been on in my life. And it was from marijuana, which is weird to me, because marijuana isn't supposed to be, I mean, it does have some psychoactive properties to it, but it's not supposed to make you, I don't know, trip. And I don't know how
No, I
G
mean
rated we are, but yeah, we could say trip balls,
it's
but
not, well, it's not LSD, it's not mushrooms,
no,
it's not ayahuasca, it's
no,
so it is interesting, but were you having full-blown like hallucinations and
It was
everything?
full-blown hallucinations. So yeah, I was there with a bunch of friends, and I sat down, and all of a sudden I noticed that my son was climbing up this cliff, and time then all of a sudden started going backwards. And I saw him go down the cliff, and I saw him go back up the cliff, down the cliff, up the cliff, and I was really scared. And I just sat there and I thought, what is going on? This is really weird. I'm controlling this with my mind. It was a real sense of time warping on me. And this is a true story. My wife was there. She walks over to me and she goes, "Aaron, are you okay?" And I'm like, "I think so." She goes, "You've been standing here a really long time, not doing anything." I'm like, "Okay." So I sat down next to my friend, and next thing I know, I'm seeing everything around me in this kaleidoscope of colors, right? Then I start zooming in on the trees, and then my world just shuts down. I suddenly can't move. I can't function. And I'm in this other world, and I hear a voice in my head say to me, it's okay. We're just rebooting you. And I was like, you're what? we're rebooting you. And I sat there and I was like, and then for a minute, I go into, and I'm like, I just need to meditate. I need to just kind of calm myself, because I couldn't bring myself out of this like locked reality of where I've seen a kaleidoscope of colors. And then all of a sudden I felt this ice cold liquid being dumped down the back of my shorts. My wife had come over, taken the cooler, opened up my shorts and poured ice down, because I was gone. She goes, I was sitting there, my eyes were open, and I just wasn't talking to anybody. I was just staring off into space, she said. And I don't remember any of that. I don't remember seeing anything after that. Everything was black, and all I was seeing were these trees. And I heard this voice talking to me, telling me that it's okay. This is, you're part of this larger system, this software, this computer or whatever, that has been built to protect mankind from itself, sort of, to get cheesy, like an experimental computer system that we are inside that allows us to experience life without harming the environment. Now I'm going to get green on you here for a second, without harming the overall world around us, right? That was the philosophy of this voice I heard. And I'm a pretty straightforward guy. I like to have things founded in science, things founded in, I mean, I believe there's intuition. I'm also a spiritual person as well, but I believe all of it can be, measured, tested. We all have this intuitive side to us, but this was something beyond that, right? This was like the overall system, my brain shutting down. I was being rebooted. My wife was coming in, dumping ice on me to bring me back into reality. And then, so I was sitting there and I noticed, I was like, I came back into reality for just like probably maybe 30 seconds. I'm like, oh, there's my wife, Andy. Oh, she's really pissed off at me right now. And I love her so much. I love you, Andy. And then all of a sudden I went back in to this experience. See, right?
You popped your head above water just long enough to take a deep breath, and then you were back down again?
Yeah, and then I was back down again within. And this lasted, it seemed like a long time for me. And there was a moment where I thought I was in hell, literal hell, because I couldn't move my body. I remember saying to myself, sitting there in the meditative state, as I was closing my eyes, trying to control myself, was like, my name is Aaron Phillips. My name is Aaron Phillips. My name is Aaron, like repeating my own name to me so I didn't forget who I was, right? It was weird. And it reminded me, like, if someone was like, if you were a computer program trapped inside a little one of those flashcards, and you'd never get stuck back into a computer to ever run again, you know, that's what it kind of felt like to me. Like, I need to get my flashcard plugged back into this computer so I can start running again. And so that whole thing, and I've gone on this for too long, led to me researching computers and the simulation theory and, you know, what everybody's saying about it. There's lots of really good work that's been done on it. Lots of really well-known scientists like Neil deGrasse Tyson's who've commented on this, right? And the overarching theory is, if we are there was one author too, and I can't, his name is skipping me right now, but if we are basically, what they're getting at though is, if we are let's say we're civilization one, right? And we eventually build ourselves to where we could create, through our technology, a virtual reality, very much what Mark Zuckerberg was trying to do with Meta, or, you know, which is seemingly kind of failing a little bit. But with AI, with the advent of AI, with the advent of computing power, you know, getting larger and bigger, even though it's slowed recently, we are in the chances of us being civilization one after we've reached that point. And surpass the point of being able to create a simulation that people can enter into and then experience a different life. is very, very low. Like, it's astronomically low that we are the first civilization to reach this point in technology. So that is an argument for us being in assimilation, basically. And it's a very profound argument that's hard to argue with, in fact. So
so much to unpack here.
Right. Yeah. Sorry.
All, holy cow. I mean, right? that's mind blowing. And I believe you 100% believe you. Not only do I believe you, you had multiple witnesses.
Oh, you could ask anybody that was there that day.
Aaron was off the reservation. He was somewhere else.
I was gone. I literally left my body. My wife had no, she was scared out of her mind. Yeah.
So, I mean, first of all, you have the car accident. And but then you have this experience also could be in the wheelhouse of out-of-body experience. I mean, that I know of, THC, you know, unless you have underlying conditions, THC is not going to, like, literally kill you. But right. still, near-death experience, and that you went somewhere else. You were not in your right state of mind, so to speak.
It was like an out-of-body experience where I saw they pulled back the curtain and I saw the Wizard of Oz, you know.
Yeah.
It was that sort of experience for me that it led me down this path of just researching as much as I possibly could about it. Now, before that, you know, I've talked with, you know, I went to therapy, talked to my therapist about it. She goes, well, this was a real experience for you. And I'm like, yeah, it was as real as it gets. It was as real as you and I talking right here, where I heard a voice saying we were. And as I was laying there, I heard the voice several times, actually. It was a voice that said, we're going to reboot you. It's okay. This is all part of the process. You're going to be back in just a few minutes. Just bear with us. Like, these are the words. And the voice was a female voice. It was calming. It was soothing. And it was like going on at like an intercom in your head, you know. That was kind of like what it was like someone coming over the PA system. It's okay, Mr. Phillips, you know. it was insane, literally insane. I'm never going to take that much THC ever again in my life. Let's just say that. But it was one I think I was glad I had, because it led to this trying to and that's all the whole thing about what I try to find in life is the truth to things, right? I think all of us, to a certain extent, want to know what's out there beyond this life, you know, what are we here for type of questions. And out of all the things I've heard, the fact us being in a computer program or in a piece of software or we're part of this experience can be applied to just life in general and just about any religious book that you read, right? There are cross-contextual thoughts there that can be explained through simulation theory. Even UFOs can be explained in simulation theory. God can be explained in simulation theory. Angels can be explained in simulation theory. All of this stuff can be explained through simulation theory. It just seems like makes a lot of sense to me. So.
Yeah, it does make a lot of sense. And I've recently, you know, stumbled across multiple videos, multiple articles, which suggest that some of the smartest people on the face of the earth, you know, physicists, philosophers, even spiritual gurus, they're all coming out publicly admitting there is a better chance than not that we are, in fact, living inside of some sort of a simulation.
Yeah.
Perhaps yes, a simulation sir. That's a game within a game within a game, you
right.
know. And coming up next, we're going to really peel the layers back and get into this even a little bit more, talking about the UFOs, the ghosts, the angels, and all these aspects coming up next.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app.
Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So, Aaron, as a UFO enthusiast, it is possible. Maybe, some of the things we see zipping around the sky, maybe those are just part of the simulation. Maybe it's, part of the game. Maybe it's to get us to look up more. Maybe it's us from the future. I mean, who knows? Where do you think UFOs fit into the picture when we're talking about the Matrix?
Oh, man. Are they the creators of it? Are they the ones that are the, like, that thought's coming to my head more than once, is these little white lights we see, these orbs that are floating around, are these people on the other side, quote unquote, the creators of the simulation theory? Or maybe it's, like you said, even us. I totally dig on that one, on that theory, Andy. It's like, maybe that's us looking through down. Maybe that's someone on the where I'm plugged in. Maybe that's me looking through my telescope at myself, the microscope, I guess. Or, well, I don't know what it would be. Would it be a telescope or a microscope?
I don't know. It depends what perspective you're coming from.
Right.
But it is fascinating. And going back earlier, what you were saying about, type one civilization, I believe it was Michio Kaku on one of his many documentaries that he's been involved with, and see him on the History Channel, Science Channel, things like this. But on a scale of 0, 1, 2, 3, or 4, currently human beings are a type 0 civilization, which is kind of mind-boggling considering how technologically advanced we really are. But compared to some other alien extraterrestrial civilizations that could have been around for millions or billions of years, we're babies. We're very primitive. In fact, he was saying one of the things that classifies us as a type 0 civilization, we can't even control our own weather. Can't stop hurricanes. We can't stop tornadoes. We can't make it rain to put an end to a drought. And in the future, we will be able to do these things as if it's magic or child's play. But we're not there yet. Now, will we get there, or will we blow ourselves up during this this technological adolescence? I guess we'll see. Hopefully these young whippersnappers coming up are smarter than our generation and can find a way to continue evolving the technology with at the same time lessening the violence and kind of finding our sense of maturity and spirituality as we grow technically. But there's just so much to consider when you're talking simulation theory. One of the really fascinating takes that I heard on this, and it's not even a theory. This was actually a research study where they created this video game that was basically a very dumbed down version of the Sims game. If you remember that game, I think it's still a thing.
Oh yeah. That's a great
PC
game.
And it's just, you just have these characters and they have jobs and relationships and they live lives. So they did this research study. They created this simulation where these characters were just living life. They could reproduce. They had free will to make their own decisions. And just like people, some were jerks, some were violent, some were peacekeeping and noble. They kind of formed their individual units and communities and neighborhoods. It was very much a like-for-like recreation of our world. But the interesting thing was, as this game evolved over multiple generations, some characters died, other characters were born, and the game began to become more complex, to the point where some of the characters actually had consciousness, where they were having dialogues with each other, like, who made us? Who created us? Somebody made this world, and essentially, I don't know what the wordage was, but they viewed the creator of their game as like a deity, a god. And they were like, what if this, higher power pulls the plug on us? Then we won't exist. We can't let that happen. And it was just this mind-boggling study of kind of what's going on now. Humans have attained consciousness and we've formed these thoughts of what a higher power might constitute. And then here we are, we're creating games. We're creating, entertainment and we're creating like Minecraft, which is a worldwide phenomenon. And then in Minecraft, you have people who are so advanced at that game, they're creating a Minecraft game within a Minecraft game. Right. So now we're talking like a simulation inside of a simulation inside of a simulation. And like, where does it end?
Right. I don't know where it ends. My son plays Roblox all the time, as well as Minecraft. Minecraft's a great example, but Roblox, there's Roblox Studio where he can create a world, and he's done it already. He's nine, and you can create him any type of world or environment that you want. He could even recreate our house if he wants to within Roblox, and then he can log into his VR through his Oculus Quest and go in there and experience that house that he created and that world that he created, which is insane, right?
So he's in the house, but then he puts the goggles on and like he's in the house within the house,
right?
So he's like within Roblox. Deep. That's nuts, yes, man. That's
yeah,
nuts.
And anybody can do that right now. And the fact that we are just a civil and what even I think proves the simulation argument even more as a theory that could explain a lots of different things is the fact that we are civilization zero to me. I just want to go back to that stat again, because yours is a little bit different than mine in that civilization zero describes where we are technologically, right?
Right.
We're already able to create a virtual reality, and the fact that we are there and almost have the ability to create a simulation. Just think about 100 years where it might be from now, where this technology, where we're just like Ready Player One, you know, we're wearing the haptic suits, we're logging inside the game, and we're in totally different reality, completely surrounded by it. The odds are, again, I'm going to say that the odds that we are the first civilization to ever do that are very, very low. I can't remember. I got to find that statistic because it's an incredible one. It's one of those where you are just like, we are in a civilization. You're like, this is the most, explains the most. It just makes the most sense. So,
you know, and then you have people, archaeologists digging up, you know, advanced technology according to carbon dating and stuff is like, you know, 20,000 years old, and they're finding computers and batteries and stuff. It's like, how many times has this simulation rebooted? Like, how many times have we, you know, essentially blown ourselves to smithereens and started from scratch and you know, created a brand new level of technology? And I guess that would be the equivalent of all your Mario lives are gone, and so you hit reset and you start playing again.
Well, exactly. And it explains reincarnation, a big topic that I'm into, you're into. I mean, you've written a book about it, and it explains so much there. And real quick, there's one scientist who I really like, and his name is Jim Gates. He is involved in supersymmetry and string theory. And there's YouTube videos out there from him. And there's one particular YouTube video that, as he was doing the maths, and this is a brilliant man, way smarter than I am, or just about anybody probably on the planet, honestly. And he went in and he started doing the math, and he drilled all the, I'm just going to do a real simple version of it. He drilled all the way down into the fabric of the universe, and from a mathematical standpoint, what our world is. And he saw that everything is zero and ones. And within this zero and one, he found a calculation, some sort of equation calculation that was created in, that was found, discovered in the 1940s, built into this code that he, I don't know, I gotta read it, but built into this mathematical formula. And I should post that video for you, or I'll share that with you in the chat, because it is, something that is, hopefully you can edit this, Andy, by the way.
No, it's good, yeah. Buddy. I'll edit what I need to, but this is kind of raw, unedited, unrehearsed, and here I am trying to pull up my Pinterest, because no, there's strange things all around us. I mean, you talk about codes and you know, ones and zeros, and here's one thing to put this in your pipe and smoke it. So
right.
Speaking of odd, you know, numerical synchronicity. So the speed of light is 299,792,458 meters per second, otherwise 299,792,458. Well, wouldn't you just know it, the coordinates of the Great Pyramid at Giza, same exact numbers.
That's insane.
Yeah, 29.9792458 degrees north.
That's so just absolutely insane.
The coordinates
insane.
Of the Great Pyramid at Giza, perfectly aligned down to the decimal point of the speed of light. Just kind of makes you wonder.
Well,
you know,
then how do they know that? I mean, you think back, our standard view of archaeology and those that have come before us is they were not an advanced civilization, as far as advanced as us, to know the speed of light, right? From a mathematical standpoint, how would they know that? I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, things like that. And what, the one with the moon too, where the moon during an eclipse is just large enough to cover up the sun, you know? I mean,
yeah, it's like exactly like a fourth the size of the Earth, but it's a fourth of the distance away from the Earth or something like that. So during a complete solar eclipse, lunar eclipse, it completely, I mean, down to the nanometer, it's like a perfect fit there. It's nuts. I don't know, man. And then, hell, we could do a whole nother episode on the dark side of the moon, couldn't we?
Right. We could do an episode on, did we really land on the moon? You know,
we could do that. We could do another one on the pyramids. Getting back to simulation theory. So, you know, you start to see some things breaking down. Now, in a world where everything can be digitally altered, we must stay grounded and we must look for evidence of tampering. But you have these, you know, these cases of people that are getting footage of like birds who are frozen in midair. You have videos on YouTube of people that their reflection in the mirror doesn't match their face. You know, you have things like this. And I guess if we are living in a simulation, is it, you know, kind of like Super Mario Brothers or any other game where it gets a little glitchy sometimes? Sometimes you'll have a guy that runs through a brick wall and that's not supposed to actually be possible in the game. Is the real life equivalent of that like a ghost who walks through a wall? You know, like shouldn't be able to, physics doesn't work like that, but I just saw what I saw.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly right. And I think I remember seeing one even where there was a dude in a car and he noticed the reflection in the mirror in the rear view in the car next to him's mirror did not match. He was sitting in the driver's seat. That is a pretty profound video as well, which can be searched and found to be not to be fake. I mean, anything could be fake these days, but there's just all sorts of crazy things. Then the Mandela effect, of course, that gets explained that way. There's so many.
And everyone listening probably knows this, but the Mandela effect.
Oh, Mandela. Yes.
It's all right. Play on words from Nelson Mandela, but a lot of people remember falsely that Nelson Mandela was killed in a prison camp, which never in fact happened. He was released from there. He became president of South Africa years later, and everyone was kind of baffled. They're like, he's passed away years ago. And we're talking about a major historical and political event that everybody seems to remember differently. Like, how does that happen?
Yeah, I don't know how that's insane to me. I put a video on my own Facebook page once of Darth Vader saying, "Luke, I am your father." There was a toy that was found that says that exact line, where actually I think what he says is Luke, or what does he say? I can't remember right now off the top of my head.
When I heard the replay of what he actually says, I'm like, that's BS. Like, that's not what he says in the movie. But I think in the actual movie, he never says, "Luke, I am your father," because that's, everybody knows that line. He never said that line. All he said was, "I am your father." There was
He didn't
Luke
say
this. It.
Yeah, he didn't say Luke. No. This toy that I found a YouTube video, and I'll share this with you as well, says Luke, I am your father. And it's a Darth Vader toy. So they think that's proof of that didn't get erased by the computers, right? That this didn't get changed in our particular reality. So it's a toy. It's a YouTube video of a toy saying, "Luke, I am your father." And, which is crazy to me as well.
It's like, crazy. And you can go on and on and on. One of the things that really caught my attention with the Mandela effect is growing up, you know, one of the most popular book series was the Bernstein Bears, right?
Right.
Come to find out, it never was the Bernstein Bears. It's the Bernstein Bears.
Yeah.
And everybody was kind of up in arms when this came out because they're like, "No, that's not how it's pronounced." And sure enough, you pull up a picture of that book, it's the Bernstein Bears.
Spelled with an A.
Yeah.
No E at the end.
It doesn't hit the ears right, man.
No, it definitely doesn't hit the ears right.
But you have this, you know, you have this happening, you know, quite often. I remember my daughter Skye, when she was just an infant, her mom was looking at her, checking on her in her crib. She was no more than 6 months old tops. And just in an instant, she's looking at her and it's like her whole body just like blinked out, like phased out in like a fourth of a second. And suddenly her body was in a completely different part of the crib. It's almost
Oh,
like it
wow.
glitched for a second, and you know, just like
Oh,
a
that's so
split second
weird.
later, she's laying on the other end of the crib. She's like, "What the hell was that?"
Yeah, that's just crazy. It's you know, those experiences I believe happened because of what happened to me on the Memorial. It was a Memorial Day weekend, or yeah, I think it was Memorial Day weekend all that time ago when I had that too much THC. It was like time literally as I watched my son climb up this cliff, and I was worried about him go backwards, and then he went forward again, and then he went backwards again. It was like I was on some weird pause. I don't know. It was really strange.
Time
And
got a
I can't
little,
make it got a little funny.
yeah, time got a little goofy. But the most, to me, the most shocking part of that entire experience was that this being, this presence was like, "Hey, we're rebooting you." And is that the actual words that they use? Is that
Those
where?
were the exact words. That
Now,
was, yeah.
last I checked, a human can't be rebooted. That's a computer term.
That is a computer term. And it reminds me, you've seen the show Westworld, right? And so
Yeah.
this happened back in 2000, and it was 18. It was right before the pandemic is when this occurred, 2019 maybe.
Yeah.
And and I hadn't done any research on, I had seen Matrix, right? So I constantly, now I'm starting to, I try to rationalize the thing in my, why did I experience what I experienced? And but I hadn't gone into the depths of simulation theory research at that point. So I didn't know the concept of rebooting and me being in a possible computer, did not make sense to me. Matrix is the only thing probably that I saw that kind of covered that from a movie standpoint that could have been stuck in my brain somewhere, but that's it. So it's definitely a conundrum in my world and my experience of life. And how do I explain? So then the thoughts go through, how do I explain this to myself? How do I rationalize what happened to me? And then I started reading those books and reading all about string theory, reading about, quantum computing and reading about all the different things that correlate. So.
You know, and at the end of the day, if we are living in a glorified simulation, does it even matter? We still have to go through the motions, right? We still have to pay our bills. We have to go to work. We have to take care of our children. You know, it feels very real. I will say that. This is a video game. They got the graphics down pat. But, you know, but then again, we are creating video games for fun and for entertainment, and those are getting so real. It's almost hard to distinguish those from reality. We were at a store, you know, an electronics store a couple weeks ago, my daughter and I were, and we were looking at, you know, the TVs, and of course they had just had like stock footage, you know, random things playing. One of them was a football game. It was like one of these new NFL, like the newest, you know, John Madden 23 or whatever came out. And we were watching it, and I had to do a double take, and I was like, "Wait, is that a video game?" And I looked, and I was like, "Oh my gosh!" I was like, "Sky, look at that! That's a game!" And she got up close, almost with her nose pressed up to the screen, and she said, "No, it's not. That's a real football game." And I said, "Nope, that's a video game."
Yeah,
So,
it's crazy.
yeah. So I don't know. We'll never find all the answers we're looking for, but that's kind of half the fun, right?
Yeah, it is half the fun and going and it's just doing the research and then hopefully experiencing a UFO or two, experiencing something that keeps me on my toes is always fun. Some sort of and I think that's when the synchronicities come into play, right? It's these it's kind of in my theory of the and I'm a firm believer in this. If I've ever heard anything that makes more sense to me, is the sim than religion or anything is the simulation theory. Because it's a theory to explain them all to a certain extent, and then when those synchronicities start coming into play, it just is a confirmation to me from the universe that something is everything's we're here for a reason, and we're here to figure out, and we're here to play a game to a certain extent. I mean, some people say life isn't a game, but I have a firm belief that we are here to learn and explore on this journey, I guess, to get cheesy here, that we call life, you know.
Yeah. And sometimes you're lucky enough to hit that warp tube and level up a couple levels,
Right.
right? Find yourself a green mushroom, get an extra life or two.
Yep,
Yes,
Mario
it's
Brothers. Let's take some
Mario
shrooms,
Brothers.
man.
That's it. And you know, it kind of is a game, right? Because we have the free will to make choices to go where we want. And you know, again, this kind of takes you down the hole of alternate realities. But truly, if you think about it, every decision that you make on a daily basis, big and small, it almost like branches out into another potential, you know, future reality that you could be living. I mean, if our life presently is just the culmination of a series of choices and the past, present, and future are all happening simultaneously, I mean, there could be a version of Aaron Phillips who's homeless. There could be another version of you who's president, another one that works for NASA, another one, you know, like presently you're like a super dad and a good guy. And it's just mind boggling to think. And video games are like that, because you hit the reset button, you could play again, you could play Super Mario 100 times and have 100 different experiences depending on where you go in the level and which blocks right. you knock and which mushrooms you step on. So
right.
it's,
yeah.
it's crazy.
Yep. Yeah, and even, I mean, I play, I'm a gamer myself, and I play a lot of Call of Duty with some friends, and that game alone has it's a free open expanse world where you can do just about anything you want within that world with your team, right? So it's, yeah, we're definitely, I think, society is, at some point here, we're going to create our own simulation to where we all can go on, instead of going on vacation to Hawaii, We're going to log into this really expensive VR system and, you know, go to Mars or something for a day. I think that sort of stuff is, you know, around the corner. If Mark Zuckerberg has his way, it's going to be here sooner than that. So,
yep. And that's where we're headed. So if anybody hasn't seen the movie Ready Player One, kind of check that out, because it's kind of in that wheelhouse of detaching from reality to the point where we're basically living inside of our video games. So, Aaron, this has been a real treat, man. Thanks for going down this rabbit hole with us and sharing your thoughts, and for having the courage to share a very personal experience or two with all of our listeners. So we appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no problem. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, we'll have Aaron on again next season. Meanwhile, go ahead and check out the show notes, click the link, become a subscriber, and then you can access the Super Strange bonus episode each and every Thursday. Until next time, have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe and stay strange.